Majestic Perfection posted a 115 buyer to whip grade one winner Big Drama in the grade one Alfred G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga, winning by dominating 2 1/4 lengths in a brilliant wire-to-wire performance. His time for the 6 furlongs was 108-3. Earlier, he had sprinted 6 furlongs in 107-1. That's a new track record to win stakes. He won by 4.5 with a buyer of 117. He also ran 6 furlongs in 108-1 to win an allowance race at Churchill Downs and 108-3 to take an allowance race at Oaklawn. In fact, he won 5 of his 6 starts undefeated on a fast track. Steve Asmussen described Majestic Perfection as the fastest horse I've ever seen. Now, not the fastest he'd ever trained, the fastest he'd ever seen. Majestic Perfection is by Harlan's Holiday. Sire also is a popular young sire in the mischief, and he stands for 8,500 live foal at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones, Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, as about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, and it's a beautiful morning here at the Thoroughbred Center. We're at the Clocker Stand. Busy morning this morning. I would say we got in the neighborhood of about 70 works so far. Is that right, Susie?
Yeah.
Susie had with 30-some-odd works, 37, I think, works before the break.
Ooh.
So we knew it was going to add up. So
yeah.
She put me to work here after
good.
The break.
Good. Keep you sharp.
Well, I don't know about that. She has to kick me every now and then, keep me awake.
Well, I was driving in from Ferguson to here, 3 skunks and 1 deer. If anybody's hungry,
is that right?
Out there and scrape them up.
Really? A dead deer on Ferguson?
No, on Paris Pike, right up here by the creek.
Yeah, you could see where it had been hit. Yeah,
it was off to the right.
Yeah.
And there was some blood and guts in the middle.
Ooh, boy, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it was. You know, there you go. Anyway.
You go across Ferguson. Ferguson runs from the Paris Pike over to Greenwich.
Russell
actually,
Payne.
It runs further than that.
Oh, it is Greenwich.
Yeah,
yes, you're right.
But in that area right close to Greenwich, there's a real forest, heavy
growth.
Yeah, growth there. And you better slow down going through there, especially by dawn or about dusk.
Yes.
Because there's always deer there. So.
Yeah, they sleep on the what would be probably the north side, and then they graze. They cross over.
Yeah,
to
and the water's
on
over
the
there.
Side.
There's a big lake over there on Johnny Greek's place over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, well, what are we doing today? Chris McCarron's going to stop in at about 11 o'clock and bring a couple of new students over.
Good idea.
He's all excited. He's going skiing next week. He's going to Vail to go skiing.
Well, isn't he just the thing?
Yeah, well, hotsy totsy. Anyway, I hope he has fun, doesn't break his fool neck. But anyway.
I've done that once. You know what baby slope is? You go down something that's no, you know, like our front yard or something.
Did you fall down?
No, you squat down when you start. Well, they told me to anyway.
Yeah.
You squat down kind of almost like you're sitting on them. And then they push you and you slowly. I've been on sleds when I was a kid, a lot more exciting than that.
Yeah,
but,
well,
you know.
I don't think Chris is going to be on the baby slope.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so either. He's going to bring a couple of kids over with him. Of course, Dr. Doug Byers is going to be here. Michael Blowen. And we've got a picture of Michael up on the wall in here now. Actually, it's a cover. Susie over here, Shirtlet, who's the clocker now, framed a picture of the cover of the Blood Horse with Michael on it. So it's hanging up over here. to boost his ego a little bit. So yeah. It's hanging up on the wall here at the clocker stand. And let's see who else is coming by. We're going to do, well, of course, Steve Moody. They're big time racing down at the fairgrounds today. They're running four graded stakes, including the grade two Risen Star, Derby horses. So we're going to have Steve Moody coming in. Of course, he's with Bloodstock Research Information Services and does that betting sheet for fairgrounds right now. We're going to do take a look at some horses from 1957. Surely I'll get around to it. I've been trying to do Bayou for about a month now. She was a champion 3-0 filly that year. One of the top handicap horses, depending on which handicap you look at, was Dedicate, in this particular one. I think he won the voting.
Ah.
Yeah, but on another handicap, they gave it to Bardstown. Dedicate, of course, by Prince Quill, and Bardstown was a son of Alibi. A Calumet bred had got away. Didn't race at 3 and 4.
Is that right?
Yeah, or was it 2 and 3? 2 and 3, he did race at 4. Now, that was Bardstown. Anyway, they were both top horses, and we might look at that. And let's see what else we're going to do. Of course, Joe Palmer. Hopefully, I can get around to doing this. We talked a little bit about this magazine that was given to me. I think Michael Bowen gave it to me. The Blood Horse magazine from Saturday, February the 6th, 1943. And on the cover was a picture of Mahmood, the Epsom Derby winner, romps in Kentucky's recent 12-inch snowfall at the C.V. Whitney Farm. And the photo was taken by Brownie Leach, who later on became a publicity director for Churchill Downs. And
wonder if he's any relation to Tom.
I don't know.
I mean, Tom's from right over here in Centerville. I wonder if Brownie was from here.
I don't know. I
have to ask him sometime.
Yeah, Brownie's okay. Spelled the same way, pronounced the same way. I'd claim either one of them.
Yep.
But Joe Palmer wrote a column about Brownie Leach, and so if I have a shot, I'll read that. And let's see what else. I guess that's it, Jack. Oh no! The winners. Horses that won races were trained here at the Thoroughbred Center. We've had 19 this month, which isn't too bad when you figure we just had 8 days of racing at Turfway. And so they're doing real well. And since last week's show, winners from here were saddled by Melvin Kendrick. Excuse me. Brian Michael, Tim Shue. Tim was just up here a second ago. He worked about four horses, I guess. Bill Hickey. Paul Garcia, and last night, Laura Bielmer won one with the Dr. Plunkett. Anyway, so that's six since last week's show. And we're doing all right, considering the lack of opportunities. But anyway, Jackie, you want to?
Sure.
Let me go ahead and do a set of commercials here.
Oh, there they are. There's Doc and Michael.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
No.
I lied.
That's Paul Brown.
Paul Brown, Jim. See inside.
Somebody dumped Paul out.
Well, there's a worker for you.
Yeah, there we go. All right. February 16th at Tampa, the grade $350,000 Tampa Bay Stakes was won by Swift Warrior. He is by First Samurai. Bred by Paget Bloodstock, Neartic Bloodstock, and Carhue Investments, Swift Warrior has won back-to-back graded stakes already this year. Winner last year, the $100,000 win stakes at Saratoga, and the year before, the $100,000 rushaway stakes up at Turfway. Swift Warrior has accumulated earnings of more than $430,000, and he's still going strong. He was one of 10 2012 stakes winners by First Samurai, a list headed by grade one stakes winner and Eclipse Award finalist Executive Privilege. Winner of the Grade 1 Del Mar Debutante, the Grade 1 Chandelier, the Grade 3 Sorrento, and second in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. She earned $940,000. The sire of two stakes winners already this year, Grade 1 stakes winner First Samurai by champion sire Giants Causeway, stands for $10,000 due when the foal stands and nurses, and they stands, of course, at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at Claiborne Farm. Sallyvanservice.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, standing in Florida, congrats, was an immediate success at stud. He was the nation's number one ranked freshman sire. Wickedly Perfect was his first grade one stakes winner. She won Keeneland's Darley Alcibiade Stakes and Del Mar's grade three Sorrento, ran second in the grade one debutante at Del Mar. Then Turbulent Descent won the grade one Hollywood Starlet, followed by six more stakes, among them the grade one Test, the grade one Santa Anita Oaks, and last year's grade one Ballerina at Saratoga. She's earned over $1,211,000. She was joined by Emma's Encore, one of the 2012 with a grade one Prior Stakes at Saratoga and the grade three Victory Ride. That's at Belmont. To date, congrats to sire 23 stakes horses in his first two crop. That's a great start, but the odds of things are going to get even better. Since moving to Kentucky, he has covered some 300 mares in his first two seasons here, mares of a far superior quality. Congrats, a proven grade one sire with a bright future. Stands for $35,000 doing a full stanza nurses at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim, 873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com.
Run it by one more time.
Well, Matt Howard just staggered in here, and he looks puny. Matt. Hey, Matt.
Yes.
Well, you say you didn't get to bed to 3 o'clock? What happened?
Fold. Another mare. Three nights, three folds.
Three nights, three folds.
And it wasn't the one I was expecting to fold. This one was a jump-up surprised me.
Yeah. Now, these quarter horses are thoroughbreds.
This was a thoroughbred I fold last night.
Okay.
St. Rose, she's a maiden.
Yeah. What was it about?
Majestic Warrior.
Majestic Warrior.
Okay, we cornered the market there.
Well, that's no bad thing. He's getting some runners.
Yeah, I've got three yearlings on the ground by him, and I'm going to have... I've got two fold out by him already, and I got two more to come.
Yeah. Matt manages Gentry Farms right here on... Right behind the Thoroughbred Center. In fact, your farm, you can get to the Thoroughbred Center without leaving a farm, can't you?
Right. I've got a gate.
Yeah.
That I use occasionally, but I try to make sure people don't do it. So, but the jockey school uses it. They lease a field from me. So they go through there and pick up their horses.
Yeah. Chris McCarran's going to come over here about 11 o'clock, bring a couple of new students.
I'm sorry.
The jockey school. Oh, here comes Doc and
Michael.
And Michael Blowen.
Get them to argue with him on the quarter horse racing.
Yo, well, there you are.
Yeah, something about that before they get here. We were talking about...
What did they say that you disagreed with, Matt?
On the Red Mile.
Yeah.
That it didn't work there. It's true. The quarter horse racing didn't work there, and it won't work there because the track is fit to run 300 and 330s.
Mm-hmm.
And we like running our quarter horses between 350 to 400 to 440s. Is where our big horses, that's where the big money is. And then we weren't getting purse money. Like, we were actually getting out-of-state sponsors from Texas and Oklahoma to help with purses.
Mm-hmm.
And when the purses aren't that good, we're not going to put our best horses. And then the tracks are just not conditioned right for our quarter horses to where we're pulling them up. And they were running almost on concrete. So if you're going to run your horse up to the Red Mile, you expect your horse to be laid up for 6 weeks. And so that's... Because they had the junior league right before it every year.
Yeah.
And so they wouldn't even start conditioning the track until the day before the meet. And so we didn't know if we were going to run our horses until we'd be able to walk out on it. And that's
1-on-1 and 3.
They tried, but we just didn't have enough help from, with the standard bred people, not working with the quarter horse people. Nothing wrong against the standard bred people, but they have their own business and we have our own business. And it's so hard to work together on stuff like that. So, and I think with Keeneland getting this track, It'll surprise everybody on how many people will run at that meet.
Oh, well, there's quite a few. We've had some train here.
We've got, you know, Fraser trains quarter horses. Wayne Mogi trains quarter horses here. Oscar Modica's done it. There's a handful that have done it. Mm-hmm. And we run in Indiana right now when the meet's open. So, yeah, there's a quarter horses here. It'll impress. And, you know, the thing is, those 2 days that they did it at the Red Mile, there were tons of people. If you ever went to one of the quarter horse meets, it was packed.
Is that right?
Like it was, yeah. Like you'd think it was Keeneland opening day.
Yeah.
Because people enjoy it.
I've been to quarter horse meetings once, and that was back in about 1955 at Bay Meadows.
Well, if they do it,
they were half horses back then.
We'll have to drag you out to it. It's a blast to watch. It's excitement.
Yeah.
From start to finish. So.
Well, here comes a fearsome twosome.
I just got a call, so I got to go.
All right.
Collect some
another
money.
Mayor Folan.
No, I got to collect money.
Collect money.
Yeah.
Bill, get some for me while you're at it. I need it worse than you do. Come on in. Well, here comes Doc. Dr. Byer.
Okay. Try to look sexy for you.
Oh, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
You see, Michael made the wall over here. Did you see that?
Uh-oh.
I told Susie not to do that. You'd go to your head.
Which one is he?
He's in the lower right hand. He's the one, one facing the other way, Doc, with his tail in the air.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, how are you gentlemen this morning?
Doing good. Well.
Good.
And
what?
Is Fred back here?
Yeah. Fred, my friend Fred. Fred's the one who did all those great paintings of Precisionist and Lava Man that are hanging in Rodney's on Broadway.
Oh, yeah. He's the artist who goes to Africa.
Oh, three in one.
Very talented.
Yeah, oh, okay. He was here last year. You don't remember? He gave you a book and everything. What's the matter with you?
Well, hell.
Everybody remembers but you. If it didn't happen 150 years ago, he can't remember a thing. His short-term memory is like really long-term.
That's about right, you know. Well, he had a hat on last year.
Yeah, there you go. details.
All right.
How are you?
Great.
How's your horse doing?
Which one?
The retired one you got.
Jackie's taking a trip to Florida starting Tuesday. So they leave.
You think he can make it all the way there?
Yeah, she can make it. She's going with her sister.
Oh, I thought she was going to ride the horse.
No, I was going to tell you. I'm stuck taking care of that horse, see.
We'll come help you.
Yeah, all right.
Dr. Byers will come over and help you.
Yeah, right.
I'll volunteer.
He needs Dr. Byers. No, actually, he's pretty healthy, that whole horse is, Doc. I mean, it's, yeah.
He's how old? 20?
He just turned 29. Yeah.
He's putting on the old age.
Yeah, I'm telling everybody that the Tenor's Way's got him beat, though.
Tenor's Way's? No, Tenor's Way doesn't. Tenor's Way's younger than that.
Is he?
Yeah. Clever Alamont's 31.
Well, I'm
O'Guyan's 30.
We're talking about Sons of Secretariat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Tenor's Way. Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, he certainly does. He got Secretariat beat. Made more money. Tenor's Way made more money than Secretariat.
And that means he's got him beat.
Well, I'm trying to help the poor guy. He's neurotic, and I tell people I have to get a Freudian analyst to come in because he made more money than his father. And all anybody comes and tells us, well, he's pretty good, but he wasn't as good as his father. You know, no wonder he weaves, and you know, no wonder he sweats. And you know, he's got to deal with these issues every day. So we've hired a Freudian horse psychologist to come in and analyze his father issues.
Well, the secretary that I've got won race at Birmingham, and he killed the meat down there. So that what did they say?
He won a 2-furlong maiden. Claimer.
No, it wasn't 2 furlongs. It took him to 4 years old before he broke his maiden.
Well, there goes.
But anyway,
late bloomer.
But he's a happy old horse. I mean, he's you know, he's kind of fun to fool with, and he loves peppermints. And so Jackie bought him these big peppermints that dissolve real easy, you know,
yes.
Because his teeth aren't too good.
Yeah.
And she gave him one of these. He had, I don't know how long since he's had one. And I swear the old horse started chewing that and just closed his eyes. You know, you could see that he loved it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way it's going to be tonight at the old friends along the Bourbon Trail at the Seal Box.
Well, they're closing their eyes for a different reason.
Everybody's going to take a sip of that bourbon and go,
what
wow.
What this peppermint down with?
Yeah, right. They're going to slosh out up there. That's what they're going to do.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. We'll tell people about it, you know, now that you mentioned it.
We have there's still a few tickets available, but we have a dinner tonight at the Seelbach Hotel in Louisville. Starts at 6 o'clock. It's a fundraiser for old friends, and it's sponsored by the hotel and the Bourbon Trail. So we'll have many, many distillers displaying their wares, and people can get samples of all the bourbon. And we have a lot of great auction items, including a wonderful condo in Florida that we're going to bid out. That's a really nice vacation spot right on the water.
Just a vacation, not the whole house.
Yeah, okay. You get it for a week. You only get it for a week. You can bid on it. They donated, Joyce and Ron donated it to us for a week.
Okay, well, these days you never know, you know. I thought maybe it was one of those mortgages that fell through.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, but it's a beautiful place. We have some really nice pictures of it. Go see some manatees and relax and have a great old time.
Yeah.
But then we have a lot of horse racing items as well. Fred Krakowiak, my friend who's here with me now, he's a great artist, and he donated a marvelous painting.
Oh, great.
So he's got a lot of great stuff in the auction. It's going to be a lot of fun, and the rooms are half price. If you come to the old friends along the Bourbon Trail, you get to stay all night for half price, so you don't have to drive home.
Well, that's because they know that everybody's going to sleep in real late, and they'll charge them for 2 days.
It's really cool, too. They have it's an old hotel, and it has a little drawer that opens to the outside in your door. And, in the old days, people would put their shoes in there and then put them out there. And then they'd come out at night, take your shoes and polish them, and then put them back in. And then the next morning, you pop in there and get your shoes back.
Now they just take them.
I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't want to put my shoes out there. Although mine all run down at the heels, nobody want them anyway. So I got a bad way of going. But
we got a root for Mark Valesky today in the mine shaft at Fairground.
Yep, that's
Burton Jones's horse. He's out of a Fortunate Prospect mare, and of course, Fortunate Prospect spent his last years at Old Friends. He's one of our favorites, and also Governor Jones is donating a portion of his purse if he wins to Old Friends and to another charity. I forget which one that is.
He'd probably be the favorite because he ran a real strong race the first time out. He got caught right at the wire, but you know that race should have moved him up, you would think.
Yeah,
you're the handicapper.
I think he should be. He'll be the favorite, I think.
Just got beat a half length.
And Rosie didn't persevere either. She let him run his race and do all that kind of stuff, but I don't think she hit him. She might have nudged him once or twice, and that was about
it. We'll see what Steve Moody's got to say about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get Steve on.
Good.
Yeah. So, well, didn't pick it. There's big racing down there today. You know?
Great racing down there
Four
today.
Graded stakes in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're running Rachel Alexander and
Risen Star.
The Risen Star.
Mine Shaft and whatever the fourth one is.
No. Wait a minute. I'll have to cheat.
You'll find it somewhere. I think it's underneath that blood horse from 1943.
Well, you gave me that blood horse.
I know.
Yeah, 1943. Yeah. That's right down my alley.
I'll have to find a few more.
I remember that Snowfall well. It says you're 12 inches.
Mahmood.
Yeah, it's Mahmood. He's buried right over here, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, you know, there used to be a prejudice against gray horses. And till Mahmood came along, and he changed that. Because they all started running, you know. But Whitney started doing real well with all those Mahmoods. But there was a real prejudice. My dad couldn't stand one. He didn't want one. Of course, he didn't want anything with a bay. He wanted a blood bay with no marks. He went, and he got a lot of them because, you know, they were breeding to a home stud named Sweetball. And that's what he was, although he did have a little star. But you wouldn't remember Sweetball?
No.
No? I got a picture of him at home. Ran second to 20 grand in the 31 Derby.
He can't remember where he left his car keys. He remembers this stuff. It's unbelievable. Anyways, the other stakes race is the Rachel Alexander.
Yeah. Well, I said that.
Pardon?
Nitwit.
You did?
Yeah.
All right, Mine Shaft, Risen Star, Rachel Alexander. All right, let's see who the other one is.
All right. Hey, is that heater on over here behind me?
Yeah.
You know, turn that thing off. It's frying my behind. I tell you what, I thought I was having a hot flash, one of Jackie's hot flashes, but I guess not. She's on all kinds of medication for hot flashes. Yeah. You go off those things?
She wakes you up, and it makes her a little more irritable.
Tell me about it. She wakes up in the middle of the night kicking covers. That's what she does. Yeah, well, let me take a break here, Doc, and we'll get to you. Well, Monday at Santa Anita, the grade $250,000 Buena Vista handicap was won by Ms. Direction. 5-year-old mare sired by Mizzen Mass. Bumped at the start, Ms. Direction went to the front immediately. Tactics contrary to her come-from-behind victories in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint and the Grade 2 Monrovia, her two previous starts going into the Buena Vista. Then she wired the field to win by 2 1/4 lengths, getting a mile in 1:33-2. Ms. Direction has never been out of the money in 14 career starts with 9 wins, 7 in stakes, and earnings of over $1,094,000. Eclipse Award finalist Ms. Direction was one of two winners of Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup races last fall. Frotilla, making her first start in the USA, won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Grade 1 winner Mizzen Mass stands for $15,000 live foal at Judmont Farm. That's the home also of Grade 1 winner First Defense. Sire of recent horses to watch Night Warden, Fireguard, Close Hatches, the latter designated rising star status by Thoroughbred Daily News. First Defense stands for $7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. And see the website at judmont.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is BristNet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer staff, detailed pedigree data, Brist class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaway. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BristNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, Sunday at Aqueduct, the Dearly Precious Stakes was won by Elge Hayur, a 3-year-old filly by Go Sapper, bred and owned by Shadwell Farm, trained by Kieran McLaughlin. She's the third 2013 stakes winner by Go Sapper, and three others have placed in stakes this year, so that's 6 stakes horses in the first 7 weeks of the new year. A pace ahead of 2012 when he sired 16 stakes winners, 26 stakes horses. Now, that's a black type runner every other week. Unbelievable. The Dearly Precious was the third start of Elga Hewitt's career. Second in her first two starts, she learned her lesson well, stalking the early pace in the Dearly Precious to outfinish her opponents. Ghost Zapper is following the path of his great sire, Awesome Again. He, too, has 3 2013 stakes winners. All three are graded stakes winners, and both ranked among the nation's leading sires in 2012. Horse of the Year, winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, and of over $3,446,000, Ghost Sapper stands for $40,000 doing a full stance of nurses at Adena Springs. Inquires to Eric Hamelback, 859-987-1798, and see the website at AdenaSpringsStallions.com. All righty, Dr. Doug Byers with us this morning, and Doug, welcome back. We got all mixed up last week.
Yeah, I think I went on an extra week hiatus.
Well, it's a sabbatical.
Everybody showed up at once last week.
You get paid no matter what.
Yeah, you're going to get paid just the same as you get paid every week, Doc.
I used to tell those students when I was teaching, I said, you know, You're working pretty hard. I'm going to get your salary doubled.
There you go.
Yeah. So,
well, what's going on with you, my friend?
Well, I would make some notes, and I had all my notes from last week, and I threw them away. So,
did you really?
We'll start over again.
Same notes? Just did them again? Or?
No, just different stuff.
Oh, okay.
Different stuff.
Yeah, those are outdated now, huh?
Yeah, we've got this, and I'll bring it in every so often, from the University
of Kentucky, I assume.
Of Kentucky, but it's sponsored by Lloyd's of London.
Okay.
And they fund this newsletter. And so it's really about bulletins of things that they think we ought to be aware of. So it's got a lot of European stuff because Lloyd's of London would emanate from there.
Well, there's a London, Kentucky, Doc.
Yeah. Well, this is the...
No lords there, though.
Yeah, you're right.
This is the... No mile and a half on the grass races in London, Kentucky.
I'll come back when Michael gets to...
Go ahead. you may be in trouble, Doc.
Yeah. It's called the Disease Quarterly. So they publish this little domestic and foreign...
Mm-hmm.
Newsworthy items. So they're talking a little bit about equine grass sickness. And I thought, well, maybe I'll seize on that, compare that a little bit to botulism. And so equine grass sickness has been described for well over 100 years, but nobody knows what causes it. So these horses have similar problems to botulism, but they have never proved it to be definitely a botulism disorder. And, of course, botulism paralyzes the neurons, and so they can recover from it. Equine grass sickness can recover too, but the GI tract basically becomes non-functional. And Dubai Millennium was the wonderful horse that Sheikh Mohammed had, and they tried to keep him alive. And I don't know why they got focused so much on it, but they put him at high risk for grass sickness. So they were pretty cautious and would pick the grass for him to eat. Now, it's usually fresh grass. And he got grass sickness anyway. And his GI tract became paralyzed. And so he basically was a nutritional cripple. And he went on to die. But they kept him going for a couple of weeks.
Kill him that quick.
Yeah. It can have a chronic form or an acute form. And he was kind of somewhere in between. But he got exposure to grass clippings and came up with grass sickness. So they funded a lot of research on that, but so far hasn't really yielded anything. And as opposed to, you know, our knowledge of botulism, we have a vaccine for type B botulism. And we're pretty smart taking care of botulism. And this thing is related to botulism. They can find the botulism organism, but not consistently, and it's not something that they can harvest very well. It's out there as something that's been around for well over 100 years. Do we have it here? Yes, it's been reported in America. Very, very rare, two or three incidents, but some of the grass sickness was more prolific. So in England and Scotland, primarily, is where they would find it.
I have a question. Somebody told me a long time ago, so I've never done it, when you get, you know, cut grass like in your yard and you empty the grass catcher, right. It looks juicy and really fresh. Grass cuttings, they said, don't feed that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe wonder if that's got anything to do with that. I've heard that forever, so we don't.
I don't know for sure. I've heard that all my life.
Me too, yeah.
You know, the shake can be, but they're not saying it because of equine grass sickness. They just think in general.
Yeah, I heard it
too. Horses get sick.
Yeah.
We avoid it.
Yeah.
Well, probably putting a lot of good grass to waste.
Get a goat.
Yeah, goat to take care of it. Yeah.
Well, they're still continuing to research equine grass sickness, and they're interested in, you know, the sporadic outbreak thing that we can have in America. But we've got very little intimidation. So a couple of things we can add as a little note is that use of the hyperbaric chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Would you treat equine grass sickness with that? No, it doesn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
And our hyperbaric chambers here that we use frivolously don't really make a difference on our domestic things.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they showed that the oxygen transfer is short-lived and doesn't influence the clinical parameters. Mm-hmm. So only in rare clinical problems.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing it does do is cost you a lot of money.
Well, okay.
You know, that hyperbaric chamber is expensive.
Okay. Never been in one.
But. Yeah.
Didn't help Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Doc, I see you're wearing a Cape Blanco jacket.
I know, great horse. Wonderful horse.
You like that horse?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
There's a, I've got the Sunday racing form in the car down there, and the back page is an ad showing some foals from his first cropping. They're really, I don't know if those three or four pictures are typical, but if they are, man, he's getting some good looking foals.
Well, you think about him, comes over here and wins three grade ones.
Yeah. Three for three.
Three for three, and he gets on the plane and kind of like taking a business trip.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, he.
Well, it was.
It worked, you know. So, great horse. I mean, and he's a nice horse.
Is he?
Yeah, he's got a good horse to be around.
Yeah, well, that's a plus, too.
Yeah.
That's a plus, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's in good hands down at
at
Ashford Stud, you know.
Dermot does a great job. And
he's a nice guy. I really like Dermot.
Yeah, Dickie Barry is the stallion manager, been there forever.
Yeah.
And Cape Longo is he's a good one to take a look at.
Yeah, well, I've never seen the horse. I'll have to go down there and take a look at him.
Well,
of course, when I show up, they know they're showing it to a deadbeat. You know, I'm not.
We should go together next time.
You're right.
At least we can get rid of both of them at the same time.
Yeah, there you are.
One mayor.
Well, we'll take Doc with us, and maybe we can.
Yeah, well, he's got a deadbeat.
He's got an end. I know
he doesn't fit the profile.
He's got an end down there, though, and we haven't.
Yeah,
well, thank
does.
You, Doc. I appreciate that.
Well, they like him down there.
That's why he goes there. Because they like him so much. He goes there all the time because it's one of those places that likes him.
Yeah, that's one of those places that like him. Well, you ought to like him as much free work, vet work he's done for you.
Oh, I like him a lot, too. But, you know, I don't have the attraction of going over to Coolmore and Ashford and seeing all these fabulous stallions. I just have the deal retired guys.
They're big horses, too.
I talked to Steve Haskins this week, and he was telling me about. So he said, we were talking about our horses, and he told me a great story about Sarava that's in his road to the his book on Tales of the Triple Crown.
Uh-huh.
About an animal psychic. And so next week, remind me, I'll tell you the whole story. That'll be a good story. People will tune in from all over the world just to hear this one story. But the other thing he told me was, he says, you know, prize, we have prize. I said, yeah. He goes, I've heard 100,000 race calls in my life. And when Prize won the swap stakes, it was the worst race call I've ever heard in my life. And he started to do the race call. And the race call was, and they're at the top of the stretch, and it's Sunday's Islands by two, it's Sunday's Islands by three, by four, Sunday's Islands is pulling away. This is why he's got to be horse of the year at Sunday's Islands, and Prize just went by him.
So that fries just went by.
I'll have to tell you a funny psychic story, okay? This is a human psychic, though. Ursel used to be down at a different radio station downtown, and he was on first, and then they had a psychic on. And the psychic one evening, as we're getting ready to leave, is running around, "I can't do this without my glasses. Where are my glasses? I have lost my glasses." Nobody said a word. They were on the top of her head. And there she was the psychic.
That was hilarious.
Well, that cured me, right?
In fact, after I read the story, I called the psychic, the animal psychic that had this relationship with Saraba, to tell her that Saraba was at the farm, and she's going to come and visit him in a couple of months and revisit him. But next week we can tell a little story about Saraba and the psychic.
Okay. You can't do it now.
Well, I could do it now if you want me to, but no, you keep accusing me of being a blabbermouth, and the story takes a little while.
All right, I'll tell you. No, wait a minute.
What?
I got to do a commercial break here. God save
me. All right, I'm not going to do it next week either. I'll wait till the week after.
Okay.
We'll really get them. It'll be like a serial. I'll tell a little part of the story today, then.
Yeah, right.
We'll finally get to the point.
I'm holding my breath. Yeah. Come on in, Walter. Walter Hillenmeyer just show up.
Walter Hillenmeyer.
Walter's going to talk about the farm machinery. Auction.
I'm not asking you all to leave. I'm just saying, well, as soon as you get a minute, you know. But well, anyway,
let me do your commercial this. Because you know somebody's got to pay our salaries.
Yeah.
Amen.
Double salary again.
Yeah.
Are you all ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You sure? 9 starters, 8 winners, a graded stakes winner, plus 2 others to place in stakes. That's her sale record to date. The stakes winner is the brilliant Gypsy Robin, winner of the Grade 2 Raven Run at Keeneland, the Grade 2 Beaumont, also at Keeneland, the Sorority at Monmouth, the inaugural at Presque Isle, and second in Saratoga's Grade 1 Test Stakes. She's earned $498,000. His most recent stakes place runner is Sia, second in the 2013 running the Basanda Stakes at Aqueduct, and all 8 of his winners have won non-claiming races. His only non-winner is made but 1 start. That a two-year-old last year in a maiden special in Delaware. The Harris, son of the elite sire Awesome Again, fee $75,000 life hold, won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile out sprinting champion sprinter Midnight Loot, and getting the mile in 133-3, and the Grade 2 Jerome, a mile in 134-1. A full brother to Grade 1 stakes winner Sponge Sugar, out of stakes winner Irish Cherry. De Harris stands for $5,000 life hold at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com. Well, my good friend Ralph Quillen has the best test tack shop in, probably the world. I think he sells more halters, makes more halters than probably any other tack shop in the world. It's not a very, very big building down there, and boy, I tell you what, they really turn out the work. But they've shipped. Now, they've shipped over 17,000 halters a year worldwide, and God only knows how much walk-in business they've got. They don't have to ship it to me. I walk in to get it. So it's a great tack shop. It's down in Paris. It's if you're going down just from the Lexington, you go in the Paris Lexington Road, you go into Paris, go to the third stop right, and look to your left, and go on in and introduce yourself and take a look around. You're going to enjoy just being there. They're really nice people in there, and the quality of their work is superior. They have a wonderful gift shop, and it's a fun place to go and look around. They've got pet collars and pet leads and leashes and you name it, you know, just they make those belts, you know, with your name plate on it, and keychains and just about anything you can think of. And if it's made of leather, quality leather, they do it at Quillen Leather and Tack. So go on way on the website and take a look at their website. It's QUILLIN.com. That's Ralph Quillen down in Paris, Kentucky. Well, War Horse Place is the home for 3 promising young sire prospects: Midas Touch, Mythical Power, and Santiva. Midas Touch, a son of the great sire Galileo, topped the Irish Free Handicap at 3 after winning the Group 2 Derby Trial and finished second by nose to Eclipse Award winner Cape Blanco, also by Galileo, in the Group 1 Irish Derby. Midas Touch went on to place in Grade 1 stakes in England and Australia, retiring with earnings of almost $800,000. He stands for $10,000 life hold. Mythical Power won two graded stakes, ran second in the Grade 1 Woodward, shipped in to beat Kentucky Derby winner Mind That Bird in the Sunland Derby, placed in the Grade 2 San Carlos, spent at 7 furlongs in a brilliant 120, and earned over $821,000. He's by the $3 million earner, Congaree. Sired 10 stakes winners in his first two crops, and of two already this year include the winner of the Grade 2 San Gabriel at Santa Anita. Santiva, never out of the money at two, won the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes and ran second in the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity. He's by three-time champion sire, Giants Causeway. Both Mythical Power and Santiva stand for 7,500 live hold. Inquiries to Jerry Assinger. Here's Jerry's number. It's 859-509-0053. Try that again. 859-509-0053. Or to Dana Assinger, 859-509-3157. Be sure to ask about breeding incentives. And to check those phone numbers or more information, go to the website. That's warhorseplace.com. As we get on there, we're on now.
Yeah.
I've got Walter Hill in my with an old friend of mine. You know, I've still got that magazine you gave me many, many moons ago, the picture of Man of War and Will Harbert on the cover.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. I knew you would have, nobody would have appreciated it more than you would.
I drag it out and look at it all the time.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I hope you think about me when you look at it.
Well, you know, the good goes with the bad. How you doing, Walter?
I'm doing great.
All right.
Doing great.
You're in here to talk about
Auction. The Farm Bureau, Fayette County Farm Bureau has their big auction at the Horse Park on 2 weeks from today, February 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little different this year because it's usually on the third Saturday in March, but they have so much going on at the Horse Park, they moved us to the second. So we're trying to get the word out to remind everybody that it's the second Saturday in March and not the third.
The second Saturday in March. Okay.
Right.
We'll keep plugging it. That would be March 9th. March 9th.
Right.
Yeah. That's 2 weeks.
2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you are late getting the word out, aren't you? Jackie's got it in her announcement. She announced it last week, by the way.
Well,
you're a little tardy on this.
Well, she told me to make sure and stop that I stopped by, so I'm just doing what Jackie told me to do.
Well,
pay attention. He's doing.
Oh my God!
It's a lesson to be learned.
Yeah, you had to bring this up, Walter. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, that's how long have y'all been doing that?
This is the 30th annual, and yeah. it's a great cause because all the money goes to a scholarship. There's a lot of scholarships out there. And they're great, but this is a up and above. It's a $20,000 scholarship.
Wow!
For Fayette County seniors to go to college.
I'm a senior.
It's a high school senior, not senior citizen.
No.
But a couple years ago, we started a new scholarship for Votech. And you can be any age. Jackie could apply for that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. There you go. Well, she's got too damn many degrees now. Oh, how long have you been affiliated with the Farm Bureau now?
Quite a few years, probably 15 or 20. Okay. I'm the president, president of the Farm Bureau. And
what else does the Farm Bureau do?
Well, everybody thinks of the Farm Bureau as insurance. Well, there's two sides to the Farm Bureau. There's the insurance side and there's the Federation side. And that's what I'm involved with.
The Federation side.
Correct.
Okay.
And it's a voice for agriculture. So, when issues come up, we make sure that agricultural's voice is heard.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of our new ag commissioner?
I think he's fantastic. He's really on the ball. Yeah. And,
what's it,
and,
Coleman?
Yeah, James Coleman.
James Coleman.
Yeah,
James
we
Coleman.
Went to a thing for him.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, we kicked in a little money for him.
Not much. Poor folks. You know.
Dollar
I
quarter.
Voted for him three or four times. I'm a Democrat.
That's awful.
It's true.
Oh, Lordy.
What are you doing lately?
Just Still involved in the horse business, doing some bloodstock, and I'm going to leave here and go look at some horses when I leave here. And just
what horses are you looking at now?
Looking at some horses in training that are just now, people for whatever reason took their time getting them broke, and they're just now getting started. So I'm going out to Billy Wofford's and looking.
Oh, I like Bill.
Yeah.
Tell him we said hello.
I will.
He's a good guy.
I will.
Ask him how his gorilla suit's doing.
Gorilla, you're going to have to explain that.
Oh, he's got a gorilla suit, and he goes places and does charitable kind of funny things with kids wearing his foolish gorilla suit. He's done it forever.
I don't believe anybody that knows Billy doesn't have a story about him and his gorilla.
Him and his gorilla suit.
Phenomenal.
He could always get a job just doing gorilla. I mean, he's funny.
Swinging by his tail, huh?
I don't know about that part. I just know he's got a gorilla suit.
Well, you know, he was a farm manager of the year last year.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah.
So he's
a good guy.
Good guy.
I'm not sure where his farm is. It's I believe it's in Woodford County.
No, it's on Kearney Pike.
Kearney.
Yeah.
Where in the hell's Kearney?
Kearney.
Kearney.
Oh, okay. Where in the hell are you from?
It's off Georgetown Road.
Okay. Now you're cooking.
I wonder if it's in Scott County. I don't know.
Yeah, it would be, I believe.
But Bill has just single-handedly carried High Hope Steeplechase for years.
Yes.
No two ways about it. He's been on the show talking about High Hope. Yeah, he's just a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done his share, that's for sure.
I got to take a break. I'll get back to you, Walter.
Okay.
Well, Temple City is a graded stakes winner and track record breaker by Dinah Farmer, sire of 136 stakes winners. His dam is by Danzy, and she is a half-sister to the grade one sire Malibu Moon, sire of 67 stakes winners and still going strong. Temple City's second dam is Group 1 stakes winner Macumba by Mr. Prospector, sire of 181 stakes winners. Now, that's a pedigree with a lot of firepower. Temple City set a new track record in the Grade 3 Cougar 2 Handicap, knotted at the wrong time to finish second in the Grade 1 Hollywood Turf Cup, placed in two more graded stakes. His first foals are yearlings. He covered 100 mares in each of his first two seasons at stud. Now, the first foals by Tisway are due this year. Tisway, like the popular young spendthrift sire Tis Wonderful, is by the great Tis now. Tisway won the Grade 1 Metropolitan, getting the mile in a sensational 132-4. The Grade 1 Whitney, the Grade 2 Kelso, placed in four more graded stakes, two Grade 1, earned over $1,359,000. Bred to 121 mares in his first season at stud. Call me special. For special prices on both these horses and talk to Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker or Ned Toffee at Spendthrift Farm. Always ask about possible breeding incentives and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. I want to talk a little bit about Lubricine and Reborn, a couple of products that are very useful products, especially right now. I want to talk about Lubricine. No, I want to talk about Reborn. What am I talking about? It's a 100% sterile, whole, concentrated, natural bovine colostrum, and it's safe and easy to use as a supplement for horses of all ages, and very important with foals. I know they announced at the Farm Managers Club on Wednesday night that although Haggard's had some colostrum there, they were out at Rude and Riddle.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. But anyway, it's a supplement too for colostrum, and I can see how that would be a great benefit to foals. What about you, Walter?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so too. What it does, it supports the immune function. Of course, it does it in horses of all ages, and so they'll have a quicker recovery from physical challenges. And so it's Reborn, Reborne. And for more information about either Reborn or Lubricine, Lubricine is endorsed by many owners and trainers and vets, and both are all natural and test free, so you don't have to worry about it. And what it does, it sustains the integrity of the joint fluid. So how to find out about it and recommend dosage, well, remember the names, that's Lubricine and Reborn, and go to the website. And you can pick it up at KBC here in Lexington or in Horse Sense over in Versailles. Well, Cowboy Cal sprinted a mile in 1:34 flat, break his maiden as a 2-year-old, winning by 4.5 lengths. Then he won the historic Law of Futurity by over 6 lengths. He was precocious at 2, and we're looking forward to his first crop of 2-year-olds to race this year. Then at 3, Cowboy Cal really got rolling, winning graded stakes at Keeneland and Gulfstream, finished second in 3 other stakes, 2 grade 1. And he kept right on at 4, winning 3 more graded stakes, all 3 at Santa Anita, and placing in 4 more, all graded, 2 grade 1. Cowboy Cal retired with earnings of over $1 million. He's by Giants Causeway, 3 times the number one sire in North America, and an emerging sire of sires. Cowboy Cal, 7,500 live foal at Pin Oak Stud, home also of the top sires Broken Vow and Sky Classic. Broken Vow sired 19 stakes winners in 2012, including 5 2-year-olds ranked on the experimental, and he's off to, and he's the sire of 2 2013 stakes winners. Stands for 25,000 live foal. Sky Classic has sired 106 stakes horses, 59 stakes winners. He stands for 7,500 live foal. He is the horse to go to if you want to black type your mare. Inquiries at Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens, and see the website pinoakstud.com. Give me some. This is Walter Hill and Give me some more information now about the
Fayette County Farm Bureau farm machinery auction is at Kentucky Horse Park on March 9th. Starts at 9:30. And it'll run, you know, to 4 or 5 o'clock. We'll have 2 auctioneers, Tommy Biederman and Walt Robertson. They'll run 2 different trucks, so they try to expedite things, get it going. So
you got a couple of old pros there.
Absolutely.
Tom.
They're very supportive, and we appreciate all
this. What time do they start selling?
9:30.
Oh, they actually start selling at 9:30.
In the morning.
In the morning.
What time does it end usually?
Usually around four.
Really?
Somewhere like that.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's a great place if you have something to sell or to buy. We start receiving machinery on Thursday morning, and so we'll take machinery all day Thursday and all day Friday, and we can't take anything on Saturday because that's when the auction starts. And,
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming by, my friend. We'll keep plugging you.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you for all you do.
Just got 2 more Saturdays to talk about.
That's right. Absolutely.
All right.
Take care.
All right, Walt. Thank you. Well, last Saturday, Golden Gate, the Grade 3, $200,000 El Camino Real Derby was won by Dice Flavor, 3-year-old Coco Scat Daddy, and at the fairgrounds, Annie Up Annie. 3-year-old filly from the first crop by Majestic Warrior won the Sarah Lane Old Stakes. Now, Dice Flavor is one of 11 stakes winners, 7 graded stakes winners from the first 2 crops by Scat Daddy, the nation's champion freshman sire in 2011, and second-ranked second crop sire in 2012. To date, Scat Daddy has sired 18 stakes horses in his first 2 crops, and 11 have won a place in graded stakes. Majestic Warrior was the nation's champion sire of 2-year-old winners in 2012 with 30. To date, 6 have won a place in stakes with 2 stakes winners. Annie Up Annie, winner of 3 of 5 starts, and the brilliant Prince of Silmar, winner of 4 in a row, including back-to-back wins in the Busanda Stakes and the Busher Stakes, both in New York. Scat Daddy stands for $30,000. Majestic Warrior for $12,500 at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Fees are payable when the foal stands and nurses. And for more information, call the farm, 859-873-7088, and see the website at coolmore.com.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville, what price they'll cost.
Well, last Saturday, Golden Gate, the Grade 3, $200,000 El Camino. I just did that, didn't I? Yeah. Let's go to Airdrie Stud and talk about Majestic Perfection. He posted a 115 buyer to whip the Grade 1 winner, Big Drama, in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga. He won by dominating 2 1/4 lengths in a brilliant wire-to-wire performance. Time for the 6 furlongs was 108-3. Earlier, he had sprinted 6 furlongs, 107-1. That's a new track record. To win stakes by 4.5 with a buy of 117. He also ran 6 furlongs in 108-1 to win an allowance race at Churchill in 108-3, taking an allowance race at Oaklawn Park. In fact, he won 5 of his 6 starts and was undefeated on a fast track. Steve Asmussen described Majestic Perfection as the fastest horse I have ever seen. not the fastest he'd ever trained, the fastest he had ever seen. Majestic Perfection is by Harlan's Holiday. Sire also with the popular young sire Into Mischief. He stands for 8,500 live foal and Mr. and Mrs. Brereton Seatone's Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Starting the second hour here, and I've got three young ladies with me and one old curmudgeon who just worked a half mile this morning.
I resemble that remark.
Do you?
Curmudgeon.
This is Chris McCarron, of course, with the his school over here, his riding school, and he's got three young ladies in here. I guess they're all, they look young and skinny, and I guess they all want to be riders. Is that right?
Yes, they do. We've got Beth Sickler, who's okay. from New York.
All right, let me write this name down. Beth?
Yeah.
Oh, my damn pen would write. That would help. Yeah, okay. From New York.
Yes, all and right. we've also got another New Yorker here, Laura Lee
all right.
Glazer.
All right.
And the young lady to my left is Trish Cummings.
All right.
And she's from different places, but most recently from Vermont.
Northerners.
Yep.
Oh, I'm places. This country's just getting... Kentucky's getting overrun by you importing all these gals from up north.
We want to expose Kentucky to the world.
Okay.
Okay? Because it's the greatest place to live. Now, had I known I was going to be invited to be on your show this morning, I would have shaved.
Well, thank God it's radio. Because we all, I've got a face for radio, too.
I've been told that many times myself.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, let me start with you. I wrote your name down there. What is it now?
Beth.
Beth. Yeah, I spelled it wrong.
Up here.
Okay. Beth, what makes you want to be a rider? What did you ride? Do you got a background around horses? Or
I've ridden hunter jumpers for like 9 years now.
What did you start when you were about 12?
11.
11? That's pretty damn close, wasn't I?
And when I was 11, I started getting interested in horse racing.
Uh-huh.
And I liked the riding part, so I figured being a jockey would be good. And I liked the sport and the excitement for it.
What tracks have you been to now?
Saratoga.
Is that your favorite track?
Yes.
Well, you've never been to Keeneland.
I've been to Keeneland, too.
Oh, have you?
Saratoga was my first.
Oh. Well, moving right along.
She didn't say her favorite. She said her first.
Oh, well, she said it was her favorite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, that's what she said.
Change your mind this spring.
Laura Lee, you're from New York, too. What part of, well, wait a minute now. What part of New York are you from?
Hudson Valley.
Okay, that's not the city. Are you, Laura Lee, you from the city?
No, I'm from near Buffalo.
Near Buffalo, up there where you get all that lake snow. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I bet you're glad to get out of there. This your first trip to Kentucky?
Yeah, I've been riding since I was about 6 years old, barrel racing, and I really hadn't done much else, and I decided that I wanted to make a living riding horses, so I decided Kentucky was the place to come, and I wanted to be a jockey.
Mm-hmm. Where did you hear about the school?
I heard about it from the website. I was looking around at different horse colleges, trying to figure out where the best place to come would be.
Mm-hmm. The best place to come?
Mm-hmm.
When she sent her application in, she sent some photos along with it. Did you send a video, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's jumping a horse with no tack on it whatsoever. No bridle, no saddle.
Yeah, go, girl.
And then there's a photograph that
and
she
no
sent us.
And no brains.
I said, well, I think this young lady must have been blessed with a little bit of balance.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. I would think so. But you were jumping then, though. But you're talking about barrel racing. That's
yeah, I've only ever competed in barrel racing, but I would do jumping and little trail riding and just different things around the house just to experiment.
Would your family have horses?
Yeah, we always grew up with horses. Mm-hmm. Me and my two sisters did, so.
Quarter horses, thoroughbreds, or what, off-track horses?
Kinda, no off-the-track horses, mostly just quarter horses, Arabs, Morgans.
Mm-hmm. Arabs and Morgans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beth, what kind of horse did you grow up with?
Mainly warm bloods, and we had some thoroughbreds.
Okay.
But I never owned any. I just went to a barn.
Oh, was it like a riding school
yeah.
or something like that?
Smart parents.
Yeah. Huh?
Smart parents.
Okay. Smart parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Jackie, my wife always says to send your daughters to to riding schools and get them interested in horses, and keeps the boys away for a couple of years. Yeah, you know. Trish, you from?
Most recently moved down here from Vermont, but I'm originally from Saratoga, New York.
Yeah, now, they used to be, you're originally from Saratoga.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see why you got interested right away. Did your family have horses, too?
No.
No? Did you go to races at Saratoga?
No, my family's not a racing family.
Well, how about you? Did you go?
I did a couple times in the Racino that's right there with my grandparents. They were more into it than my parents, but...
Was that the Trotters?
Yeah. Would you go see some... Top racing up there. Well, that is top racing.
I was so young, I don't remember when I went with my grandparents.
Well, what got you interested in horses?
Well, I've always been an athletic person, and really my size and just being muscular. I tried swimming, I did dancing, and wasn't really good at any of them.
You should see the guns on this young lady.
She got some guns.
Is that right?
Yeah.
She's pretty strong, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Boys can't mess around with her.
I wouldn't.
No. You wouldn't. I think you're safe there anyway. So you decided to just, you thought
it would fit.
Because of your size and because you were athletic that you would try.
Yes.
And you never had ridden before?
No. I started when I was 11. I did some lessons, but my family really couldn't afford it. So then I quit for a while. But then I was working somewhere in Saratoga, and somebody offered me a job to be an exercise rider. And I was like, no, I'm in college, whatever. And so it always, like, that intrigued me that somebody picked me out. I was working somewhere and just picked me out. I was like, you'd be perfect for this. And it really intrigued me and got me started thinking that this would really be a possibility and it would work.
Yeah.
I would fit in.
Yeah. Chris, Vermont. Now, there used to be a track up there. Was that Green Mountain?
Yes, it was Green Mountain. Okay. And they had another track close, not too far from there in Maine called Scarborough Downs.
In Maine?
Mm-hmm.
Scarborough Downs.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Now, that was a bush track, I guess.
Yeah, they were both were pretty low class racing at that time. They've been closed for a long time now, but the trainers from the Boston area in Salem, New Hampshire, where Rockingham Park was, they would go up and race at Green Mountain and Scarborough sometimes.
Yeah, that's been a number of years ago. That's before you girls were born.
Yep.
Yeah. I can remember barely. Well, what do you think, Trish? How long you been in the school down here now?
Since August.
Really? Y'all been here this long? How come I'm just now seeing you here?
I don't know.
When are you going to?
Well, in the first semester, we train out in the fields. We lease a paddock from Gentry Farm that we turn our horses out on the weekends, and we also train in that particular field in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of makeshift, if you will. I set up an arena that is configured, and I use T-posts and caution tape, believe it or not.
Oh,
I put two ribbons of caution tape around. I put the T-posts set up in an oval.
Do they need that caution tape?
Yeah, they do. They learn early on. They learn early on that the horses know the difference between confinement and a big field.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh yeah.
So and once they demonstrate that they can stop a horse on command, then I take the T post down, and I start with a small arena, and I gradually make it bigger so they can start cantering and stuff like that. The riders who have come here with some riding experience need to learn the techniques that we teach as far as racehorses are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And but once they demonstrate that they can keep a horse under control to a degree, right, then I take them out of the arena and then let them gallop around the field and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Have they
made the track yet?
Yes. We started this group progressed more quickly than any previous group that I've had.
Is that right?
We actually started coming down to the track, the bottom track here, November, I think it was. And that's the first time that's happened.
Well, I'm saying a lot because there have been some pretty good riders coming out of this group.
So. Yeah, when Ben Creed won, he won three up at Turfway a week ago, and he won one last night as well. But when he got his first win last Saturday, that put us at 1,800 victories.
Ooh. Is that right?
And wow. Andrew Wolfson is doing really well. He's a leading rider at Penn National right now. And I'm real proud of all the kids.
That's Jackie.
Yeah.
Jackie's doing well. She's riding Aqueduct. She's riding mostly long shots. It's very tough there in the wintertime.
Tougher anytime.
tougher. It's exactly. And since the purse structure has increased so much up there, a lot of the riders that used to go south to Florida for the wintertime have stayed in New York. So the competition is very keen. And Dylan, Jackie's full brother, almost won a race the other day. He's ridden about 10 or 12 times so far, and he finished second in a race at Aqueduct.
Hadn't broke his maiden
yet? No, he's not broken his maiden yet.
Okay.
How's Aparna?
Aparna's doing great. She rode one yesterday up there.
Where?
At Aqueduct.
Did she?
Yep.
Really?
She's, I'm glad you asked about her. She had to go home. Her visa ran out, so she had to go home and get that straightened out. And then she came back to the States, and she started riding at Aqueduct last November. And then her mom was in an accident, and she had to go home and help her mom recover and stuff, which she is doing. And I talked to Aparna 2 weeks ago, and I did that because I invited her to participate in a race we're having at Turfway on Spiral Day, March 23rd.
Okay.
We're having three apprentices from Europe come over and ride. We're going to have three of our graduates ride in the race as well. And so there'll be six apprentices against six veteran riders from up at Turfway. There'll be two riders on each team, mm-hmm. and we're going to have a point system. And
yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it should be very exciting. And
are these three going to be in on this, or do you know?
No, they're not ready yet.
They're not ready
They
yet?
Have a ways to go before they can go 40 miles an hour with a bunch of other horses on the track. But Ben's going to ride in the race. Aparna, Adam Bowman, and Natalie Turner.
Oh, what?
You've interviewed them before here, too.
Yeah, I've been trying to keep up with Adam.
Adam's doing okay. He's riding at Parks. He's riding every day, but he's riding mostly long shots.
Yeah, I noticed
He's having a tough time getting his business going.
What a good kid he is.
He's a fine young man.
Yeah.
And but the best thing about this race is that the Kentucky HBPA and Turfway have agreed to allow us to take the percentage of the handle that the track and the horsemen for purses would normally take, and they're going to donate that to NARA.
Mm-hmm.
Help us feed our horses.
Wow,
nice.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so it's very generous on their part, and we're very grateful.
Yeah. Beth, have you come off yet?
I came off once on my birthday. It was a birthday present.
Where was it, down below or in the field?
It was in the public field.
In the public field. What did you think about going down below? Down below here is the 5/8 mile in the inside of the mile track here.
I enjoy it. I feel a lot safer out there than in the field. The track seems smoother than all the ruts in the field.
Yeah.
I like going fast now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's very good. Laura Lee, have you come off yet?
I haven't come off yet, but I've gotten run off with a few times.
Oh, well, so you're looking for the outrider.
Once in a while, yeah.
Well, She was on a horse we call Marble out in the public field one day last week, and he got pretty strong with her, and he kind of went pretty quick. But when they're out in the public field, we use there's a tree line off in the distance, and the horse has to go up a pretty steep hill before it gets to that tree line, and we use that as the backstop.
Okay. Yeah.
So I always just tell them, just head for the hills.
Head for the hills?
Head for the hill and head for the trees, and they'll eventually stop. Just make sure you stay back.
If you do that,
stay down, keep your heels down, because when they come to a stop, it's going to come quick.
You know, when training up those hills, you know what's going to happen. They're going to get fit.
I tell you what, I love training in the public field here.
Yeah.
I've used it a lot since we've been here. And you really can get a horse really, really legged up out there, because most of the hills are very gentle and everything, but if you want to use that back hill, it's pretty steep, and you can truly get a horse legged up. You can build up their wind really well, and I use that every year to get our horses ready for the High Hope race. Mm-hmm. And we run 7/8 of a mile over at High Hope every year, and the horses cool out in 5 minutes. It's incredible, and I attribute that to their getting that exercise, that legged up and down those hills out there.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask Trish. Trish, have you come off yet?
Yes, several times.
Several times.
Several times.
Well, that's what you get a little closer to that mic now. That was, you don't have the experience going in at these two, do?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, you've got more experience coming off.
Yeah.
Yes. What did you think about when you finally got to go to the track?
It was exciting. It was the first time for me. A lot of learning.
Mm-hmm. So. Are you looking forward to moving up, you girls, to the big track?
Yes.
Yeah. How soon will that be, Chris? Just whenever you think they're ready, or
Well, actually, yesterday we used the top track here because the bottom track was still quite frozen underneath.
Now you go out late.
Yes, yeah. We're not going out during general training hours right now. We go on the track at 11:30 when the track shuts down at the top track closes at 11, the bottom track at 11:20. And then so we'll have our horses lined up on that road over there at 11:20, which is why you haven't really seen us because other than the fact that you're retired and you left us for crying out loud, didn't tell anybody, just kind of snuck out, you know.
Well, I didn't want all my enemies out here to know I was leaving.
But yesterday
you make enemies as a clocker, you know. You won't change your work or, you know, something like that.
Put down something too fast.
No, right. I've never done that. Yep. I always put down. I've turned down a few bribes, believe it or not.
Oh my goodness, we found an honest man here.
Yeah.
But yesterday we came on the top track and they 2 minute licked for almost a mile, and some of them got it pretty close.
Well, that's good.
They got, you know, some of them went a little too slow, others a little too fast, but for the most part,
yeah, most riders do that.
That's right. That's right.
Including you.
Once or twice. Once or twice.
All right.
When I was on Precisionist one day out at Santa Anita, and Ross Fenstermaker, his trainer, told me he's getting ready for the Santa Anita Handicap. He said, "Now we're going to go three quarters, and I need a good work in him. Okay, I want you to get after him, turn him home. I want to see him finish." I said, "Okay, what kind of time are you looking for?" He says, "If he goes in 11, that'd be great." So he flew around there and. He ended up going in 9-2. And so I pull up in the backstretch, and Ross is on his pony. He rides up alongside me. He says, "Oh, man, what were you thinking? You went way too fast." I said, "How fast did he go?" He said, 9-2. I said, 9-2 is 11.
Oh, God.
He didn't laugh too much.
I bet he didn't. Well, I'm gonna ask you one thing. I'll let you guys go. Are you going skiing?
I am going. I'm participating for the second time a week from today. In an American Airlines sponsored celebrity ski tournament.
Uh-huh.
And do you remember the name Billy Kidd?
Yeah.
Billy Kidd is from Vermont, and he won the tournament last year. And it's a blast. It's to benefit cystic fibrosis. And I also participate in a golf tournament that they put on every year in at AVR and Del Mar Country Club in October. And that's to benefit Susan G. Komen for the Cure.
Okay,
so
that's good.
We have a blast doing this, and we get to meet. I thought I died and went to heaven the first time I ever went out to the golf tournament because American Airlines has a headquarters in Boston, so they invite a lot of retired Boston athletes.
Uh-huh.
And I walk in the dining room one morning, and John Havlicek, Sam Jones, and a third guy who I should have recognized, I didn't recognize right away. It was Bob Cousy.
Is that right?
And I met Jim Lomborg, who pitched for the Red Sox in the 67 World Series. Bill Russell played 11 rings with the Celtics. So when I got home from that event, I'd sent an email to all five brothers and three sisters. You'll never guess who got to play golf with Chris McCarron today.
And nothing like an ego, is there? Right. All right. Well, thanks for bringing these young ladies by.
Well, thanks for having us. Next time I come on, I'll make sure I shave.
Well, it doesn't bother me. It might bother the girls. But I'll let you guys go. Thanks for coming, guy, girl. Bye, girls. I'll get it right in a minute. And good luck to all three of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Hope I see you in the winner's circle. All right. Well, February 16th at Tampa, the grade $350,000 Tampa Bay Stakes was won by Swift Warrior. By First Samurai, bred by Paget Bloodstock, Neartic Bloodstock, and Carhue Investments, Swift Warrior has won back-to-back graded stakes already this year. Winner last year, the $100,000 win stakes at Saratoga, and the year before, the $100,000 rushaway at Turfway, Swift Warrior has accumulated earnings of more than $430,000. Still going strong. He was one of 10 2012 stakes winners by First Samurai. List headed by Grade 1 Stakes winner and Eclipse Award finalist Executive Privilege. Winner of the Grade 1 Del Mar Debutante, the Grade 1 Chandelier, the Grade 3 Sorrento, second in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies for earnings of $940,000. Sire of two stakes winners already this year. Grade 1 Stakes winner First Samurai by champion Sire Giants Causeway. Stands for a $10,000 to win a foal stands and nurses at Claiborne Farm. Inquire to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business: the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, 19. Best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clayward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clayward Agency, that's a winning combination.
A champion sprinter, Sprightstown, stud fees climbed to $60,000. Country Day, a versatile sprinter by Sprightstown, is standing his first season at stud, $5,000 to win the full stanza nurses. Country Day won stakes on dirt, turf, and artificial, ran second in the Grade 2, now Grade 1, $1 million Breeders' Cup turf sprint to Grade 1 winner Regally Ready, and with a dozen graded stakes winners in his wake. And he retired with earnings of over $500,000. Country Day, in addition to being by a champion runner and leading sire, is out of graded stakes winner Hidden Assets, a daughter of the leading miler and outstanding sire Mount Livermore. Hidden Assets produced three stakes winners, and her dam by the great Roberto was also a multiple stakes producer. The family has given us a multitude of superior runners and such outstanding sires as Aladar and Grand Slam. Your inspection's invited at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Ask about Crestwood's Share the Upside program, and check the website at Crestwood Farm. All righty, I've got Steve Moody with me. Steve is doing the Fairgrounds Handicapper Sheet right now. And boy, a bunch of stakes down there today. Steve, I'm really interested in a couple of them. First of all, the Risen Star with those three-year-olds.
Yeah, big day. Big day of racing across the country, Ursula, and big day at the down in New Orleans. They got, I think, six stakes today. The Risen Star for the Colts and the Rachel Alexandra for the Phillies. So hopefully the weather will cooperate down there. They'll get to run them all with decent weather and even run on the turf, which has been a rarity of late.
Yeah, it. Let's take a look at the Risen Star first, if you don't mind, because kind of the 3-year olds, you know.
Yeah, we'll start with that one. That's the 10th race today, mile and 16th, and they've got a field of, they drew 15 for the race. The word yesterday was that Al Stahl was going to scratch the 14 departing. out of the race, haven't seen that official yet, but that was the word yesterday. But very good race. I think there's a lot of ways you could go here. I finally settled on the 9 horse in here, Ursel, Normandy Invasion. This one, of course, is coming back, making his first start of the year. He's been off 3 months since he finished second last fall in the Remsen Stakes at Aqueduct back, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, and coming back for Chad Brown. But the horse has been working real well down in Florida, down at Palm Meadows. Chad Brown is extremely good with layoff horses, and I think he'll have this this one ready to go. This is a colt that's by Tappet. I think the pace of the race ought to be a reasonable one, and he likes to run from off of it. And I think his late run can get him there up in time. Jose Lascano was coming in to ride him, and I'm going to give him the edge in here. The other two I'm looking at, Palace Malice, the 6 horse. He is going long for the first time, and figures to show early speed. He's got a lot of chance to improve in here. If the track course was muddy to sloppy yesterday, if it were to continue to rain down there, and if it were to stay like it was yesterday, he'll be tough. The speed was holding up yesterday. And if he were to shake loose in here, I think he could be dangerous. He got the leading rider Anna Probnik is on Palace Malice, and so he's going to be one of the ones that you're going to have to catch. Another one I think that's lightly raced and big shot in here is the Baffert horse, Code West. He's stepping up and making his first start against winners, just has a maiden win. But it seems like these days, that's you know, these Derby horses just get more lightly raced year by year by year. So wouldn't shock me at all if this one to come up and run a big race. But I'm going to go with the horse that's got a little bit of stakes experience, even though he's only got a couple of starts. That's Normandy Invasion. We'll go 9-6-2 in the Risen Star.
Normandy Invasion. Well, I hope his trip's a little bit better than the original Normandy Invasion.
Yeah, that was a little
rough.
Some tough sledding in that race, yes, heat.
It surely was. There's one other race I'd like you to look at, if you would, the Mine Shaft.
Okay, the Mine Shaft, that's the eighth race. This is a grade three for four-year-olds and up, 150,000, going the same distance as the Risen Star, a mile and a 16th. Field of eight going in here, very well-matched group. Mark Valesky, who I thought ran a big race, making his comeback try in his last start. I thought he had a big race and coming back, and I think he can obviously move forward today. Infratini, horse of from Paul McGee's barn, a gelding by Include, who's been going good now. He comes back off of a win. I think he's going to be very tough. And then the horse I went for, Ursel, is the last year's Travers Cole winner, Golden Ticket, shipping in from Florida for Kenny McPeak. And he started off with a real big effort, winning his first time out, first start this year. And he's come out of that race with a solid set of works. I'm going to give him the edge over here in a really good race. So we're going to go the five Golden Ticket and the two Mark Valesky and Infratini to seven. 5-2-7 in the Mine Shaft.
5-2-7 in the Mine Shaft. I'm going to ask you to pick one more winner, Kentucky or Missouri tonight.
Well, I'm sitting there watching the game day bunch down there now. They got a big crowd at Rupp Arena. I don't know. I'm not really liking what I'm seeing, Ursel, on the blue front. I think they're going to have a tough time beating Missouri. Missouri, I know, has struggled on the road, and I guess that's given people some glimmer of hope. But if you're going to make me pick right now, I'd have to say that the Mizzou would get the check mark.
Is it true that Kentucky's a 3-point favorite?
They opened at 2, and last I saw it was 1.5.
2-1, well, might as well be even Steven, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know if I can stay up that late or not. It's a 9 o'clock game, so.
Yeah, that'd be, you'll have to get your nap this afternoon, Ursel, and then get up and watch the game.
That's what I'll have to do. Yeah. All right, Steve, I really appreciate it. This has been Steve Moody with the, with Brisnet. You can get that Fairgrounds, sheet off the internet at brisnet.com and, go get it because he picks winners with pretty regularity there. Thanks, Steve. Talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, Ursula.
All righty. Well, Monday at Santa Anita, the great $250,000 Buena Vista was won by Misdirection, the 5-year-old mare by Mizzen Mast. Bumped at the start, misdirection, went to the front immediately. Tactics contrary to a come-from-behind victories in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint and the Grade 2 Monrovia, her two previous starts, going into the Buena Vista. Then she wired the field to win by 2 1/4 lengths, getting a mile and 1:33-2. Misdirection, never out of the money in 14 career starts with 9 wins, 7 in stakes, and earnings of over $1,094,000. Eclipse Award finalist Misdirection was one of two winners of Grade 1, won $1 million Breeders' Cup races last fall. Flutila, making her first start in the USA, won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. And Grade 1 winner Mizzen Mass stands for $15,000 live foal at Judmont, home also of the Grade 1 winner First Defense. Saw recent horses to watch, Night Warden, Fire Guard, and Close Hatches, the latter designated rising star status by Thoroughbred Daily News. First Defense, 7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. And see the website at judmont.com. Well, let's see now. The Grade 3 Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn Park went to Super 99, raised at Three Chimneys for Northwest Farm. The Grade 2 San Vicente was won by Shaking It Up, raised at Hill and Dale for Michael Pegram. Jones Choice, winner of the Moro Stakes at Aqueduct, was bred by Adina Springs. The winner of the Albany Stakes at Golden Gate, Gallant Sun, was bred by Tony Holmes and High Clare. And Elga Huer, winner of the Dearly Precious Stakes at Aqueduct, was bred by Shadwell Farm. All four were raised on products from McCauley Brothers. And here's a good one for you. Six of Steve Haskins' Derby Dozen, published in the February 23 issue of the Blood Horse, were raised on McCauley products. Now, the folks at McCauley's take pride in the success of clients and do everything in their power to ensure continued success. Why don't you join the list of winners? Call Mike Warren or David Longmire at McCauley Brothers, 873-3333, or just stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. You're always welcome. McCauley Brothers, that's where it is all about the horse. Well, War Horse Place is the home for three promising young sire prospects, Midas Touch, Mythical Power, and Santiva. Midas Touch, a son of the great sire Galileo, topped the Irish Free Handicap at 3 after winning the Group 2 Derby trial and finishing second by a nose to Eclipse Award winner Cape Blanco, also by Galileo, in the Group 1 Irish Derby. Midas Touch went on to place in Grade 1 stakes in England and also in Australia, retired with earnings of right at $800,000. He stands for $10,000 live foal. Mythical Power won 2 graded stakes, ran second in the Grade 1 Woodward, shipped in to beat Kentucky Derby winner Mind That Bird in the Sunland Derby, placed in the Grade 2 San Carlos, sprinted 7 furlongs in a brilliant 120 flat, and earned over $821,000. He's by the $3 million earner, Congaree. Congaree saw 10 stakes winners in his first two crops. He's got 2 stakes winners already this year, including the winner of the Grade 2 San Gabriel. Santiva, never out of the money as a two-year-old, won the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes and ran second in the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland. He's by 3-time champion, Sire Giants Causeway. Both Mythical Power and Santiva stand for 7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Jerry Assinger at 859-509-0030, or Dana Assinger, 509-3157. Be sure to ask about breeding incentives and see the website at warhorseplace.com. All righty, I think we can move right along now. Jackie, you want to do some announcements so I can rest my vocal cords?
Yes, I'll do that.
Oh,
I'll do that very thing. I was looking here. Walter Hillemeyer was nice enough to stop in and remind us that March 9th, that's 2 Saturdays from now, is the 30th annual Fayette County Farm Bureau Machinery Consignment Auction, the auctioning part. I think this is interesting. They must auction all day if they start at 9:30. I wonder if they just stand there and auction one thing and then move on, or do they get a couple of bids on something and come back? I have no idea. That's worth taking a trip over there to see how that works. Anyway, it's at the horse park. Go in the main entrance. You'll see it. It's to the right. You can't miss it. All types of farm, lawn, and garden equipment. If you got anything to sell, you can take it out Thursday and Friday, March 7th and 8th. And if you want to see some more stuff,
Fayette County. Well, let me see. Fayette, C-O for county. FayetteCoFarmBureau.com. High Hope Volunteer. Boys, spring is coming. High Hope is the day after Preakness every year. So the Derby is the 4th. 2 weeks later is the 28th. Is that right? 4 and 14.
21st.
4 and 14.
Oh, 4 or 18th.
18th must be the Preakness. So the 19th must be High Hope. Susie moved the calendar. It's over here somewhere.
Oh.
Anyway.
She did, didn't she?
Yeah. So they're going to have the first volunteer meeting Thursday, this coming Thursday at 6 o'clock.
14th is on a Thursday.
That's not right. The Derby is the 4th of May. That's why, because he's in the wrong month. May. Oh, May 4th is the Derby. Two weeks later, 18th is the Preakness.
Yeah.
Sunday, the next day, the 19th, is High Hope. We all got that out there?
I can't think that far ahead.
High Hope's the best. I can't wait.
Yeah, High Hope is the best. Ressie always makes High Hope. Always run into Ressie and the kids.
Yeah.
And the wife at High Hope. It's a lot of fun.
Out there drinking that beer.
Oh, boy, whatever. It's, anyway, the meeting is next Thursday at 6 o'clock. It's the CKRH facility. That's a good idea. They used to have it in that covered arena upstairs, and that wasn't bad, but CKRH is a good idea. There's more parking out there. That's why it's a good idea. They will be discussing, they're going to have a Horse Farm Workers Olympics this year. You going to go out there and do that, Ursel?
No.
Stick horse races, the children's area, merchandising, course, blah, 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 blah. Silent auction. They have the silent auction. That's fun. Posters, of course, they have the terrier races, and Chris McCarron's jockey school will be in a race. I guess, I wonder if that's the last one instead of Sportsman's Challenge. Anyway, they always have pizza and drinks at the volunteer meetings. It's a lot of fun. If you've never gone, they need you. So get a hold of Jessica Oldham Stith at High Hope Steeplechase. They have a number out there. I'm going to give you her cell number just for fun. You can call the horse park and get all this, but 509-7541 is Jess's phone number. Okay, Michael Blohm was in here. I'm going to mention this again tonight. Old friends along the Kentucky Bourbon Trail tonight at the historic Sealback. Hilton. Oh, it's a Hilton now. Hilton bought the Sealback. What do you know? I bet it's the oldest one they own. If you want to go, it's not too late. 502-585-9292. And then Ferdinand's Ball will be May 2nd in Louisville at the Fraser History Museum. And they're going to have their annual homecoming. Old friends will have it. They always have their homecoming the day after Derby, which would make it May 5th. So, it's keeping up with Michael. Cute pictures of a little kid with little silver charm. They're mini horse. It's on, make friends with them on Facebook. Got a lot of good stuff. The Wilderness Trace. This is May 18th. I don't want to say anything about their combined test and training. Oh, March the 2nd and 3rd down at Lakeshore Arena, which is where Route 60, the Versailles to Frankfort Road, right before the interstate, is Lakeside Arena. Macaulay Brothers has a reigning classic every year down there, and this year it's March 2nd and 3rd. NRHA and CKRHA approved, whatever that means. They have stalls and et cetera, et cetera. So good for Macaulay sponsoring some quarter horse stuff. Oh, that is pretty neat. Raining March 3rd and 4th, Macaulay Brothers at Lakeside. Horse Park. What's going on at the Horse Park? There is a trail ride March 13th and 14th. This is nice. You don't get to do this very often. It's being held at the Road to the Horse is held at the Alltech Arena, March 15th and 16th. They've relocated from Tennessee to the horse park. Well, that's nice. But the trail ride is March 13th and 14th, of course, 10 to 4, of course, if it rains or whatever. Anyway, it's $50. Stabling is available for an additional fee of $20. That's not very expensive at all. You need a vet cert, a Coggins. I guess that's all. Yeah. And pull in. For more information, 255-5727. Let's see. Yeah, I'd love to do that. That mare'd kill me, I bet. Think I could take her out there? I'd get run off. That'd be a little comic relief. TOBA's 2013 Seminars and Clinics, April 19th at Keeneland, will be an ownership seminar. March 24th at Boynton Beach, Florida. They're having a pedigree and confirmation clinic. Breeding clinic May 31st through June the 2nd here in Lexington. Today is snowbird dressage at the horse park. Next week is Mounted Game Association. I've already told you about that trail ride. That is so nifty. That's just wonderful. Because you just can't, that's not a place you can take your horse, put in trail, and go out there and say, I'm here. You have to be in a horse show or something, and there's only certain areas you're supposed to be, but not that day. You get to go everywhere. Joyce Brinsfield's Valley High Stables in for sales. March 2nd and 3rd is having schooling shows. Schooling Hunter on Saturday the 2nd. Schooling Jumper Sunday, March the 3rd. Joyce's number is 948-2632. Now, today, I said, is a dressage series. The next one is March 23rd. Let's see, Horse Park, they really do have, oh, here you go, Champagne Run, March the 3rd, Sunday Jumper Stumpers, and you can Google them and give them a call if you want more information. Brisnet.com has a performance plan, unlimited PDF PPs, $75 a month, unlimited. So go to Brisnet.com and punch around on there and find PPP plan. No, PP plan. One extra P. Ralph Quillen. Good Lord. Ralph Quillen's keeping us up with his saloon and brewery. He's now they've got to remove a roof or something or a second floor or something. I wanted to call him and say, look, that unfinished look is kind of cool. You know, get the beer in there and let's get going. Anyway, of course, you know Ralph from Quillen Tack and Leather, and this new place is going to be 719 Main Street. Don't forget my friends at Computer Clinic out in Myers at Hamburg Place, 263-7374. They're great. Don't forget Macaulay's has Longevity, which is the feed of choice for adult horses.
9 starters, 8 winners, a graded stakes winner, and 2 others to place in stakes. That's DeHare's sire record to date. Stakes winners, the brilliant Gypsy Robin, winner of the Grade 2 Raven Run at Keeneland, the Grade 2 Beaumont at Keeneland, the sorority at Monmouth, the inaugural at Presque Isle, second in Saratoga's Grade 1 test. She's earned $498,000. Most recent stakes place runner, Asiya, second in the 2000 running of the Busanda Stakes at Aqueduct. And all 8 of his winners have won non-claiming races. His only non-winner, made but 1 start, that is a 2-year-old last year, was in a maiden special at Delaware. DeHare, a son of the elite sire Awesome Again, won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, out-sprinting champion Sprinter Midnight Lute, getting a mile in 133-3, and the Grade 2 Jerome a mile in 134-1. A full brother to Grade 1 stakes winner Sponge Sugar, out of stakes winner Irish Cherry, DeHare. $5,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to the stallion manager, Kent Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Stopped by just the other day to see Kirsten Johnson over at Kismark. It's always fun to go in there. That place is a beehive of activity in there, and just about every vet in Central Kentucky uses their facilities at one time or another, and they've had a bunch of really top horses go through there, horses like Grace Hall and Kitten's Joy and Colonel John and Einstein, Badge of Silver, and Any Given Saturday in Spritestown, and Magna Graffit, and Roses in May. And like I say, when the horse arrives there, he comes with their own vet. And if you stick around there long enough, you meet just about every vet in Central Kentucky, and some from out of state, too, but they have the facilities there. They've got facilities there for rehab that you just can't find anywhere else. And they've got a staff there that knows how to use those tools. And it's a great place to visit, and it's entertaining just to watch what all they're doing over there. And Caresmark opens its doors to horses that have been critically injured or to those just in need of a little freshening. And the cost is very, very reasonable. It'll surprise you how little it costs. They've got things like a cold saltwater spa, and it rapidly reduces inflammation of the limbs, incidentally. There's an aqua tread and a swimming pool and an indoor walking and jogging ring and a freestyle walker's vibrating platform. Just about everything you can think of over there, and the people there that know how to use those tools. Now, give them a call over there. It's Versailles' number, 873-9955. Or go to the website. It's Caresmark, Caresmarc.com. Great place to go over there and just look around. You'd be surprised what you see over there. Well, Artie Schiller was the sire of 16 stakes horses in 2012, 10 stakes winners. Mr. Commons won a Grade II Arcadia at Santa Anita. Yeah, it was his third stakes win. He's placed in 7 more stakes, including the Grade I Santa Anita Handicap and a Grade I Frankie Kilroy Mile. Laserhawk won as a classic winner in Australia. Big Chill won graded stakes. So did Lady Melksham. Bears Chill won stakes in Canada. Bingo won stakes at Santa Anita. Senator Beck won stakes at Monmouth Park. So the Artie Schillers are competitive wherever they're asked to run. And that's why his 2012 yearling sold for up to $220,000. Artie Schiller won 6 graded stakes, including the Grade I Breeders' Cup Mile. He earned over $2 million. He is one of 87 stakes winners by the Sire of Sires El Prado. He's out of a multiple Grade I stakes winner, Hidden Light by Majestic Light. Stands for $10,000 doing a full stance of nursing. Stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. Well, Kentucky Breds have won stakes last weekend. That's the compliments of David Schweitzer and the KTA in Toba. Let's see if this was a Kentucky Bred, the first one I went to, and I don't believe that one was. It was, where was that thing, fool? Yeah, it was. Shaking It Up won the San Vicente Stakes, and Shaking It Up was bred by Mike Pedram, but he was full right here in Kentucky, and as a matter of fact, he was raised over at Hillendale, as far as that goes. Let's see here, the Southwest Stakes, Grade 3 at Oak Lawn, went to Super 99. He's by Pulpit, and he was bred in Kentucky by Northwest Farms. Funny's Approval on the Barbara Fritchie Handicap up at Law. Funny's Approval shipped in to do that. She was bred by Bobby Rankin, who lives over here in Bourbon County. Moving right along here, the Misdirection, winner of the Buena Vista Handicap. What a lovely mare she is. She's by Mizzen Mast, bred by Joseph Parada. And this filly, is a model of consistency. She's got 14 starts, 9 wins, 4 seconds, and 1/3, and $1 million in earnings, and has never been out of the money. Boy, wouldn't you kill for a horse like that. The winner of the El Camino Real Derby, a dice flavor, was by Scat Daddy, who of course stands down at Ashford Stud. Bred by Paget Bloodstock, Neotic Bloodstock, and Carhu Investment. Swift Warrior won the Tampa Bay Stakes, Grade 3. Is by First Samurai. He was bred also by Paget Bloodstock, Neotic Bloodstock, and Carhu Investment. So they had quite a weekend. The Very One Stakes, Grade 3 of Gulfstream winner, Star Former, was bred by Judmont Farms. The Sabin Stakes, Grade 3 at Gulfstream Park, was the return of Royal Delta. And she, of course, was bred by Paladese Investments. She was an empire maker. The Albany Stakes at Golden Gate, Gallant Sun won that, bred by Tony Holmes and High Clare. The Bayakoya Stakes at Oak Lawn, Don't Tell Sophia, bred by Stonerside Stables. Dearly Precious Stakes at Aqueduct. Elga Hayur, she's by Go Zapper, stands over at Adina Springs, and she was bred by Shadwell Farm. The Mardi Gras Handicap at the Fairgrounds, Good Deed won that. That's a Broken Vow, bred by Bert Elaine and Richard Klein. And the Moro Stakes at Aqueduct, Jones Choice was the winner. And Jones Choice was also bred by Adina Springs. So that's compliments to my good buddy David Schweitzer over at the KTA. Well, let me do this real quick, and we'll talk about Temple City. And Temple City is a graded stakes winner, and he's a track record breaker. He's by Dynaformer. Dynaformer sired 136 stakes winners. Temple City's Dam is by Danzig, and she is a half-sister to the grade one sire Malibu Moon, sire of 67 stakes winners, still going strong. Temple City's second dam is group one stakes winner Macumba by Mr. Prospector, sire of 181 stakes winners. Now, that's a pedigree with a lot of firepower. Temple City set a new track record in the grade three Cougar Handicap, nodded at the wrong time to finish second in the grade one Hollywood Turf Cup, placed in two more graded stakes. His first foals are yearlings. He covered 100 mares in each of his first two seasons at stud. Now, the first foals by Tisway are due this year. Tisway, like the popular young spendthrift sire Tis Wonderful, is by the great Tis now. Tisway won the grade one Metropolitan, getting a mile in 1:32.4. Won the grade one Whitney, the grade two Kelso, placed in four more graded stakes, two grade one, and he earned over $1,359,000. He was bred to 121 mares in his first season at stud. Now, call for special pricing on both these horses and talk to Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker or Ned Toffey over at Spendthrift Farm. Always ask about possible breeding incentives and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Silence from down there. Mary Jean must have gone to the restroom. All righty. I'm going to talk a bit about, well, let me see, how much time I got? Yeah, I think I've got, 9 minutes or something like that? You know, I was given this old blood horse, dated Saturday, February the 6th, 1943. And a picture of Mahmood on the cover over here at C.V. Whitney Farm. And underneath the, it says that the picture was taken by Brownie Leach. And Brownie Leach, of course, ended up being at Churchill Downs. He was on the staff at the Blood Horse at that time. And Joe Palmer wrote a little article about Mr. Leach, so I'm going to read that. Dateline, Miami, Florida. The tropical serenity of this winter fairyland was brusquely disturbed last week by the arrival from Kentucky of Mr. George Brown, Brownie Leach. Mr. Leach directs the public relations of Churchill Downs, and a part of his mission was to advise one and all that the Kentucky Derby will be run on the first Saturday of next May, and to go to Turf Riders preliminary training for it. The date of the Derby is correct, but no one should be misled by this. Mr. Leach has a great respect for the truth, and he uses it sparingly. There was a time, for instance, way before Pearl Harbor, when his family was dozing contentedly through Beethoven's Sixth, a pastoral symphony on a Sunday afternoon, when the music was interrupted by an announcement that fighting had broken out on the streets of Washington. The Army and Navy and such Marines as were available were fighting from behind barricades, but were slowly being pressed back to a scant perimeter around the White House. A little later, a breathless announcement was made that a train bearing reinforcements from Fort Dix had been derailed by insurgents at Philadelphia. There was a considerable to-do in calling in of neighbors and telephoning to the newspapers before it was discovered that Mr. Leach had hooked a microphone into the loudspeaker of the radio and was in the basement, drawing on an imagination which has never yet been caught overdrawn, through great demands, although great demands had been made of it. There was another occasion when Mr. Leach was walking peacefully down the street with an acquaintance. A merchant, who was normally restrained, suddenly opened the door of his establishment, stuck out his head, and addressed Mr. Leach's followers. "You lying SOB," he then closed the door and went about his business. This was because Mr. Leach had been invited the day before to speak to the Lions Club. He had explained that Keeneland, having pioneered the totalizator in Kentucky, had made and made the first experience with a nonprofit racing organization and now embarked on another first in racing. It had set steam pipes about 5 inches below the top level of the racing strip and was prepared to make a wet track into a fast one within 2 hours of the falling of the last raindrop. There was some skepticism abroad at first, but Mr. Leach began to smother the company on figures about the amount of pipe used, the number of elbow joints and T-joints used, and incredulity began to die. The amount of steam necessary to dry the track, he said, would pull a 10-car train from Cincinnati to New Orleans and back as far as Chattanooga. Some of the lines were as much as 3 days, realizing that they'd been sold a pup. But Mr. Leach's most skillful triumph over veracity was on a trip from Lexington to New York on a train called the George Washington, named for a man who could not tell a lie, but frequently ridden by people who can. While Mr. Leach's attention was engaged elsewhere, the train was serendipitously out of Kentucky into West Virginia, a state inhabited by the Kanawha Valley and Prohibitionists, where no liquor can be sold on trains, unless you count beer, as who would? Not our hero, at any rate. He chose his weapon, which was a dull magazine, and went into the club car. He seated himself next to two couples who were trying to see what was at the bottom of a pair of bottles and began to read industriously about bird life in the Aleutians. The company became increasingly convivial, so much so that one of the gentlemen was moved to ask Mr. Leach if they were disturbing him. He said no, that aside from losing his place a couple of times, he's not been bothered at all. There was some further conversation, and this elicited the information that Mr. Leach had been newly graduated from the College of the Bible at Transylvania and had been ordained and was on his way to his first parsonage at Charlottesville. The celebrants were somewhat abashed, as most people are when they discover a member of the third sex among them, and hope that they had not given any offense to the cloth. Turned out that Mr. Leach was a broad-minded clergyman. He said that as far as he could see, the group had merely been laughing and having fun, that the conversation, while occasionally tart, had been within proper bounds, and that he could see nothing reprehensible about the occasion. This was appreciated, and activities on a more moderate scale were resumed. With somewhat longer acquaintance, Mr. Leach confessed to a long-standing curiosity about alcohol. It had always been banned, if not actually abhorred, in his family. And, of course, all of his ministerial training set him against it. Many of his colleagues, he said, were fanatic about it. And yet he had known people who drank who were very pleasant people. The attraction it had for its devotees had always baffled him a little. In fact, he admitted, shamefacedly, I've sometimes been tempted to try it, just to see what effect it had. There's nothing brightens a long train journey like getting a preacher drunk. So one of the party shoved the bottle over. Go ahead, help yourself, he said. Mr. Leach shied from it like a colt from a flapping paper on a racetrack. I guess I couldn't, he said doubtfully. The bottle continued to fascinate him as a snake is supposed to do with a dove. He put forth a hand and then withdrew it. Finally, he steeled himself. After all, he said, we don't know each other. Tomorrow you'll be in New York and I'll be in Charlottesville. And the chances are we'll never see each other again. If I'm ever going to try it, now is the time. With what seemed inexperience, he filled a tumbler half full, amid covert smiles and nudgings from the four. I need not detain you with the rest of the story. Picture yourself four persons journeying liquorless through West Virginia, happy in the belief they had done something naughty, and Mr. Leach retiring contentedly to his roomette, secure in the knowledge that a job had been done.
That's great. I love that one.
All right. Well, winners out of the training center since last week's show were saddled by, let's see where I am here. Melvin Kendrick. Good old Melvin got one with Countess Causeway. Brian Michael, saddle one. Mr. Michael does a good job. Tim Shue gets his share. Bill Hickey, another outstanding young trainer out here. Paul Garcia. And the last night, Laura Bielmer. And congratulations to them. That's 19 winners this month, which is pretty darn good considering they just raced.
2 days a week.
Yeah, 16 days at 2 days a week in 4 weeks.
It's eight.
That's 8 days.
8 stinking days.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, that music means it's time to say bye-bye.
Okay. Works for me.
You going to put this up on the internet?
Oh, yes. It'll go up on the internet. Oh, February 9th, when you click on it, click on both of those links, because the top link, I cannot get that. I have reposted it, so everything else is uppy daisy.
All righty. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks to our guests for stopping by, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.